This is Scott Berguin at KSOW Radio in Cottage Grove, and we are once again going to be talking to Linda and Phil Waste of Military Family Speak Out. They're both in Washington, D.C. right now and have been for a couple of days. Hello, Linda and Phil.
Hello.
Hi, Scott.
Hello. It's good to talk to you. I know you've been extremely busy since you've, well, all along, but it seems like especially so since you got to Washington, D.C.
It's been a whirlwind since we arrived, and I don't think we've updated you since Richmond, and that was Monday.
Yeah, it seems like longer than Monday ago, but...
It's just, it's been flying by, so we can give you a brief synopsis up to Washington and then give you more detailed into Washington.
That'd be great.
We in Norfolk on Tuesday, we had a rally and a peace vigil at Veterans Memorial down on the water, and it was one of those stops that was thrown in at the last minute, and it was actually quite a gathering. Veterans for Peace has been very active there, and they've got quite a few people, but they told us with the information with the Bring Them Home Now tour coming that the crowd was doubled, that they'd seen faces they hadn't seen before. So it was it's just been really heartening all along. And the interesting thing about that is we were at the Veterans Memorial down on the water right next to the ICW, and where we had the candlelight vigil was right by the water where we had been anchored out when we bought our boat last spring.
No, really?
We're looking out at the water thinking, wow. We've come a long way.
Okay.
And the following morning, we left for Washington, and we arrived in Washington in the afternoon, and all of the buses congregated at the RFK Stadium and then traveled together to the lawn in front of the Capitol building for a press conference.
Mm-hmm.
And that was really something. It was... quite a day.
Mm-hmm.
Very warm. And go ahead, Phil.
In front of the Capitol, you talk to some press people, and normally they get about four cameras in your major outlets, and there was about 20 cameras.
Yes.
Every outlet in Washington that had a camera crew had them out there. And there were some speeches. Lynn and I were the last speakers, and Cindy spoke, and they got it all on film. I don't know how much got out onto the air.
Mm-hmm.
We never get to see the news. We're too busy out there, and by the time we get back to our room, we're so tired we never get to watch very much of it.
Right. Well, you know what they say about watching your own news clippings anyway, or reading your own news clippings.
I wouldn't want to do eventually, I'd like to see what I look like.
Yeah, well.
I'm going to go, oh, my God.
Although our granddaughter called us this morning, and she said, Grandma, Grandpa, I Googled your name, and oh, my goodness, you're everywhere.
You're everywhere. I'll bet you are, yeah.
So it was
pretty exciting. At that press conference, we all signed a letter that was going to be submitted to the president.
Mm-hmm.
And it was on a rather large piece of cardboard. And we all got to sign it off the tour. And then we went to the White House. And we really weren't expecting them to accept the letter.
Mm-hmm.
I think there was a press photo of Cindy outside the gate of the White House. And they didn't allow us onto the grounds, but they did accept the letter through the barbed fence there.
Mm-hmm.
So we think that was a victory.
Sure.
Quite successful, actually, in our opinion. And it was an official from the White House who came down to the gate and took the letter.
Oh, that's great. Well, I know I've seen the letter on the website, the Bring Them Home Now tour.org, and I also actually recorded reading it and played it on our radio station, myself reading the letter, and then put it on the internet as well. So.
Oh, excellent. Thank you, Scott.
Oh, you're welcome. Hey, that was pretty easy.
Well, it was So after we did that, we drove to the Constitution Gardens, and along with the Arlington West folks, we built Camp Casey. We built a memorial there, crosses and a tent, and it was very moving. But more about that in a little bit. We did a live broadcast event from the American University that night. And it was a very big, and we returned quite late, but it was just a packed audience, just packed, and they had all of us introduce ourselves, but just a few individual speakers, and it's so powerful when the star moms are speaking, you know, and dads, I should say.
Yeah.
And we had a couple of the Iraq veterans who... Really, it was so emotional. It was there was not a dry eye in the audience. Amazing to see how people are listening now, how they're reacting to everything. And we're so proud to be a part of this. This has just been phenomenal to us.
Oh, that's great. So are you, I don't know, what is it? It's now 10, almost 11 o'clock there in Washington, D.C. Have you noticed... do you have a sense of people already showing up for the events tomorrow? Or,
We'll get to that.
You'll get to that. Okay. all things in their own time. Okay. Continue on, please.
Yesterday, we visited senators face-to-face with Senator Kerry in the Capitol building, in the president's room. Now, normally you get 4 or 5 minutes with a senator. We actually face to face for 45 minutes.
All right.
Went out and made a quick vote. He was gone about two minutes. And I think it was one of the most exciting telling meetings that we had. Able to tell our story.
Six of us.
And engage him in conversation about the war in Iraq. And connecting it to how he felt after the war in Vietnam. What I came away with is the sense that if the Constitution in Iraq fails, if they fail to find a consensus on October 17th or shortly thereafter, that he will probably come out against this war.
Well, that, yes, go ahead.
Went to Iraq a few weeks ago, as did Patty Murray, another one we met with. And, the sense we're getting is that they do not feel that, from their experience over there and meeting with certain leaders, that this is going to work. And they indicated that to us. And, or that was our take on it.
Sure.
That's Scott. After he said what he said, I asked him, I said, would you consider a meeting on December 1st to discuss this again and your position on this war in Iraq? And he did agree to the meeting, both in, if he's in Massachusetts or at the Senate office building.
Oh, very good.
So that was part, that was something, and we had the same sense from Patty Murray. Although John Kerry is very charismatic, he seems to really care. And when he's talking with you, he looks you right in the eye. He was quite touched by the stories we all told, and he had tears in his eyes too, and gave us all big hugs before we left.
And he let you tell the stories, which I think is. Not a sense of that you had to hurry up or anything like that.
No, that was...
His feelings were sincere, I can tell you. They weren't politics in any way. He was feeling what we were feeling and understanding what we were saying and what we needed.
But the points we made very clear were that we were disappointed in Congress voting for the monies towards the war. And we made it very clear also that we will not be voting party lines in this next midterm election, but we will be voting for those who are brave enough, strong enough, courageous enough to stand up and say this war is wrong and we will no longer support it.
Mm-hmm.
That was the message we took to them.
Good, good.
It was quite an experience. So it was really incredible being in this building and all the history. It was really quite moving.
Scott, we actually went into the Senate office building.
Mm-hmm.
And were escorted downstairs into the tunnels where the train goes over to the Capitol.
Mm-hmm.
Over to the Capitol building. We didn't have passes. They did search us. The only way we could move around through the Capitol building was Senator Kerry came out and escorted us into the president's room. We rearranged the furniture.
He wasn't real happy about that.
A circle, real close and intimate.
Mm-hmm.
It was quite a time. It was the people speaking to their government, and I think there was a meeting of the minds there. Getting on till this morning, we got up very early after all of that, and we went to the Black Caucus, or Charlie Rangel.
That was this morning?
That's this morning, yes.
Okay.
If they were, it was a discussion on what do we do at this point with Iraq, and there were, General Wesley Clark was there, Congresswoman Barbara Lee, Cindy Sheehan, of course, Mark Shields from the Capitol Gang, Kwasi Mfumi, Joe Madison, radio host. It was really an impressive panel of people who spoke.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of what we heard was very positive. A lot of what we heard was what we wanted to hear. But I have to say I was very disappointed when Wes Clark spoke.
Yeah.
He indicated that we need to stay the course, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I'm tired of hearing the words exit strategy, de-escalation, regional dialogue, because to me these are just empty words.
Mm-hmm.
And, the point is they need to stop the funding and bring the troops home.
Right, right. Well, they're all echoes of Vietnam, almost
yeah.
Verbatim.
It is. They truly are. And I'm tired of hearing it, but one fellow in our group really got up and inappropriately, actually, and took a paper and walked in front of the dais with a sign that said impeach. And it didn't make everyone real happy, but when Charlie Rangel got up to speak again, he said, he was asked the question about misinformation. We keep hearing about misinformation and what's your feeling on that. And I loved what he said. He said, well, misinformation equals incompetency, but lies equal impeachment.
Uh-huh.
Thank you for that.
Yes, yes.
Very interesting.
Well, I agree with you, Linda. I appreciate your saying that about, you're tired of hearing exit strategy and those terms that they use to go back to something you said earlier, looking for someone who's brave enough to stand up. I think that shows a lack of bravery. What is an exit strategy for a lie, or what's the staying the course? That's exactly what they're saying, isn't it? Keep lying. Let's just keep lying. Lying to ourselves and lying to the world and go forward. It's kind of crazy.
Veterans, he pointed out that they knew they were going to get out of Vietnam when there were 20,000 dead, and it took 38,000 more before they finally got out. We don't need an exit strategy. All we need to do is leave.
Mm-hmm.
I was able, when speaking with Charlie Rangel out in the foyer, I was fully aware that we had a camera and lights on us, and we were speaking face-to-face, and I was pointing out to him that Iraq was a sovereign country, and they need to have the right of self-determination, and they don't need the U.S. Army supporting one faction over another, unbalancing their political structure, creating the insurgency that we're seeing over there now. And the only way to cure that is to get our troops out now and let the Iraqis decide what kind of government they want, and not impose anything that we think they should have. And Charlie turned to me and he says, "That's right on." That is exactly right on. And it's on camera.
Very good.
It'll come out somewhere. You can tell my voice.
Right.
And there's something very important to remember here, that Congress may never see the light, but they always feel the heat. We need to turn.
Who said that? Did you just say that, or is that a quote?
Linda just said that.
Somebody remember who said it.
Oh, that's very good.
Just tomorrow.
Yeah. Well, you guys are cutting out here. Are you moving around, or?
No, I'm trying to talk over you.
Okay.
What were you going to say, Scott?
If I knew, I'd say it right now. But you talked over me, and you just sort of wiped out my thoughts. So continue on, please.
Well, tonight we had a candlelight vigil.
Oh, and this addresses what you were asking earlier about, are the crowds gathering? Oh, my. We were in Constitution Gardens having a candlelight vigil. And, of course, all the crosses are there, and it was getting dark, and we spoke to the crowd, several people spoke to the crowd. This was really the end of the Bring Them Home Now tour. Many people spoke, and as we spoke, more and more people gathered. I would say it went from somewhere around 500 to 1,000. Joan Baez sang Amazing Grace. And then we walked three blocks from the Constitution Garden, carrying our candles to the Vietnam Memorial.
Oh boy!
It was very quiet, very respectful. It wasn't a demonstration; it was a vigil.
It was.
It was very moving.
Well, you don't need to say anything because that wall speaks very loudly for itself.
Oh, certainly.
I've never been there before tonight. And to see that, and the streams of people in front of us and behind us with candles in the dark, was one of the more moving things in my life. And an incredible evening.
Well, my next question, I guess, would be for both of you is, you've already given me the sense that the numbers are already building. How are you feeling going into tomorrow? Obviously, tomorrow is a it's going to be an historic day. And how are the two of you feeling going into that?
Oh, we're looking forward to it. One of the things we decided, if we were going to do this walk tonight, that we probably wouldn't do the walk tomorrow. And we volunteered to work in the tent and let somebody else go. We don't walk very well anymore. Linda's got a gimpy foot. Gimpy all the way around.
My spring and Phil's knees are shot.
So we're going to take care of the tent while they're all marching. And we'll be watching it from afar, actually. But
they're expecting upwards to 500,000. I'm hoping it's more, but that was the estimation I heard this evening.
Have a million, they'll probably report 100,000.
Right. Well, that's always the interesting thing, isn't it? The difference in numbers, and it's why another reason why it would be very good to touch back in with you and others and hear, you know, your true on the ground sense of it. It's, you know, of course, it's hard to count. It's hard to know. But I go on. I remember back February 15th of 2003, before the war started. where there was millions of people all over the world. And it was such an incredible thing because without knowing, we were marching in Eugene, Oregon, you know, and we're walking along with all these people, and just the energy was so incredible. And you just had the sense that this is more people than have ever been, than have ever done this in Eugene, at least, you know, since the Vietnam War, and probably even counting that. And then you go home and you find out it was the same thing everywhere. Everywhere was just like, wow, where'd all these people come from? And listen, I'm just hoping and hoping that tomorrow is going to be along that those lines.
Well, there's going to be the march tomorrow. There's going to be things happening on Sunday,
mm-hmm.
and Monday. On Monday, Lynn and I have been asked to visit some more senators and congressmen, and so they're setting up meetings for that. We will be doing that type of activity instead of getting jailed or something. Lynn and I don't do jail anymore.
You don't do jail anymore. Okay, well, that's good. Well, we won't go into your jail history.
Been arrested.
Oh, what's, say that again. I'm sorry. It's taken me a while to realize that we're like on a satellite connection or something so that we do talk over each other and it cuts each other out. So I'll shut up right now.
No need.
That is what's happening.
We have a big meeting with military families speak out on Sunday. And on Monday, we will be walking the halls of Congress again. And that's pretty much where we are now. But tomorrow should be an incredible day.
Yes.
Absolutely incredible.
We feel a little bit bad, Scott, because there's so many people sleeping out in their cars and in tents and in bed and breakfast and dorms.
Breakfast, that's really a killer.
And dorms. And we have this lovely suite.
Oh, well.
We're drinking wine out of wine glasses, so, you know, we're happy campers. This is what we call roughing it.
Well, I tell you what, I mean, you all have been the front line here for a few weeks now, and you deserve it. You really deserve it, and you've really been the front line with what you have been going through with your family and your kids and grandkids. It's you know, and obviously it continues. The work continues after tomorrow, and just as unfortunately the anxiety for a lot of people continues as well.
Yes, and that I have to say this has been one of the most incredible experiences of our lives, being involved with all these dedicated people and becoming active in a way that we hadn't been before. But I can tell you this. We will never sit on the couch and complain again. We will be out there fighting for everything.
We're going to take a few weeks off, and we're going to fly over to Germany to see our new grandson that we haven't seen.
Mm-hmm.
Boy is going to be heading back to Iraq, and we want to see him before he goes.
And when is he scheduled to go in?
November. This will be his second deployment.
But we've already volunteered to continue this fight wherever they need us.
Okay.
And, so we'll go do that, and then we'll come back and take up the mantle again. This is a job that needs doing. We need to encourage everybody in the United States to get going, and let's stop this war and bring our boys home.
Very good. I think that some of us, hopefully, this is something I'm very interested in, is getting this tour, some form of it out here in the West Coast, and get it to, you know, hit half of the country that the tour, of course, for good reason, wasn't able to get to. But get some of you folks out here. It's a long ways away for you all, I know, but we'd love to have any and all of you out here and spread some of that momentum and keep it going, hopefully.
Scott, it has been mentioned.
Very good.
They're talking about continuing a tour.
Okay.
To the West Coast.
Very good. I'm pretty convinced that the resources are there to sustain it. So
we volunteered to do the Christmas tour.
The Christmas tour. Okay.
To all the malls.
To all the malls. Oh boy, go to the Mall of America and Minneapolis.
Yeah, it has been mentioned. We heard something mentioned about that, about doing the West Coast, and if indeed that happens, we hope to be a part of that.
Okay, well, I can get excited about that. That's great. You just remember, whenever it comes up, you just say, we got to go to Cottage Grove, Oregon. I'm going to get that into your brain so that it's automatic.
That would be top of the list for me.
Yeah, right. Well said. Thank you very much for that. Okay, well, it's probably past midnight there now. I don't know what it is, but I'll let y'all go so you can kick back and get a little bit more of that well-deserved relaxation. And I may call you in the morning, you know, before things get rolling, although I imagine it starts really early.
Well, we don't have to be there until, I believe it is 9:30.
We're going to be at 9:30 our time.
And so we may be able to connect in the morning after that point, or you can try us tomorrow evening. We should be available.
Okay, very good. Take care. Thank you again for spending some time with us.
Well, you bet. It's a pleasure.
Very good. Well, I'm definitely be thinking about you through the night and all the way through tomorrow. Well, we're having our own, we've got a march and rally in Eugene and one in Albany, Oregon as well.
That's what I was going to ask. How about Portland?
You know, I don't know. I assume there's something in Portland, but it's not something I've seen. I think it may be that people are focusing on Albany, which is kind of south of Salem, the state capital. So that's right. You know that.
Yeah.
You know where those things are. And of course Seattle is probably the big regional one is in Seattle.
Yeah.
Okay, they have something really large planned for Seattle.
Yeah,
huh?
Correct. And San Francisco. So it's kind of everybody. Yeah.
I'm sorry, go ahead.
I was just gonna say, yeah, then there's there's Roseburg is having something tomorrow, you know, so there's lots of things happening in small towns and the smaller cities around the state of Oregon anyway.
Well, I have to ask you, what size shirt do you wear, T-shirt?
You have to ask that, huh? I usually wear an extra large.
Large? Okay, because I think you need to bring them home now to our
beach. Oh, well, that would be a treasure.
Well, I will grab one for you tomorrow and send it on its way.
Okay, I really appreciate that. Thank you.
Thank you so much for all you've done.
Okay, well, we'll keep doing it, okay? All right. Have a good night.
You too.
Thank you, Scott.
You bet.
All right.
Yeah.
Bye.
Sweet dreams. Bye.
You too. Good night.
Night.